You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk here on the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And as always, on the first Wednesday of the month, I'm here with you discussing issues that make a difference in your life. And friends, I'm so excited to be here with you this morning because there are some amazing things that are happening here in the Archdiocese with which very few people know about regarding sanctity of life issues and issues of the beauty of sexuality and preserving that the way that God has intended. We're going to be talking about that a bit this morning. The first half of the program, I have Sue Hilgers with me, who's going to be talking about an upcoming training for fertility care practitioners that's taking place here in Chicago. And then the second half of the show, we're going to turn to some current events issues. We have we'll have Bob Gilligan from the Catholic Conference of Illinois and Deirdre McQuaid from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops to discuss health care reform. And I know I'm getting a lot of phone calls on this. Where is the church on this issue? What's going on with this issue? And will the types of policies that are being bandied about in Congress right now, will they actually, in a sense, victimize those who are most vulnerable, like the unborn and the elderly, with measures that could hasten death or could promote abortion or other things that are harmful to the dignity of the human person? We're going to be talking about health care reform in the second half of the program, starting at about 9:30, and that's going to be certainly a stimulating conversation. Many of our Parish Respect Life coordinators and committee members, people who are very involved in promoting the sanctity of human life in our parishes, are listening in right now, and I send a special shout out to all of you and thank you for your work. And I want to remind you that we have some important meetings coming up, gearing up for Respect Life Month. When is Respect Life Month? It is in October. Why are we talking about this in August? Because parishes plan ahead so much. We've got to plan ahead, right? And the USCCB has a fantastic Parish Respect Life kit, which we are distributing to every parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago free of charge for use for Respect Life Month. And Respect Life Sunday has all sorts of great tools in it: prayer resources, posters, brochures, which you can get dirt cheap to actually stuff in your parish bulletin and have out at informational tables. So come to these gearing up meetings. I'm sure there's going to be one in your area. August 17th, St. Paschal. That's where our gearing up for Respect Life Month meeting will be, and we'll be distributing that kit free of charge. August 17th, August 18th at Our Lady of the Ridge, down in Chicago Ridge. So folks who are way down south, that's a great location for you. St. Joseph's up in Libertyville. We are just covering the whole Archdiocese. That is August 19th. So Vicariate 1, folks, we expect to see you there. And then August 25th at the Meyer Center, 3525 South Lake Park Ave. That's good for people who are on the south side and so forth. So make sure to join us for that, for those gearing up meetings. If you need more info, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. And now I am very blessed, friends, to introduce to you a woman who I don't think you know, actually. But behind every great man, there is a great woman. We all know the phenomenal, groundbreaking work of Dr. Thomas Hilgers. He is a pioneer in assisting infertile couples to conceive using moral means that are aligned with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And not only are his methods moral and healthy for women, but also actually more effective than in vitro fertilization, 3 times more effective. But behind this great man, Dr. Thomas Hilgers, is a great woman, and that is Sue Hilgers. And she has been a fertility care practitioner for more than 30 years. She is one of the co-developers of the Creighton Model Fertility Care System, which is the basis of Dr. Hilgers' work. And she has five children. And Sue is with us today to talk about an exciting opportunity coming up here in the Chicagoland area. Sue, thanks so much for being with us on Life Talk this morning.
Well, good morning, Mary Louise. And it's so wonderful to be in touch once again with the Archdiocese of Chicago. You know, my first experience was back in March when I was a participant at your Respect for Life, a Respect Life Coordinators meeting, and that was truly a blessing. And the Catholic spirit amongst those who serve the Church in your archdiocese is so impressive. So it truly is my honor to be here to experience once again, if you will, those faithful within the archdiocese.
Oh, well, thank you, Sue. It's a blessing to have you with us, and it was really an honor to have you with us in March with your husband. I want to just let our listeners know that if you have a question or comment, you can give us a call at 312-255-8408. Again, that's 312-255-8408. Maybe you know somebody who is struggling with the sadness of infertility, and you're wondering, how can the Creighton Model Fertility Care System help my friend? Maybe you have that sadness in your life. Maybe you're interested in really helping women to really live healthy lives understand the beauty of the procreation that we have within us. Whatever it might be, give us a call, 312-255-8408. So, Sue, we have this training coming up in the fall for Creighton Model Fertility Care Practitioners. Mm-hmm. What is... And actually, this training, by the way, begins on August 29th, and we are still accepting applications. In fact, we desperately need people.
Yes, you do.
Because
there's
we need at least two more people to sign up in order for this training to take place. And these trainings are pretty rare, aren't they? I mean, it happens in Omaha, where you guys are based, but otherwise, there aren't many opportunities for local trainings. Is that right?
Well, actually, yes, the centerpiece for the educational program certainly is in Omaha, Nebraska. However, the last 20, 25 years, we've worked very hard to actually educate, train these same fertility care practitioners that you mentioned a moment ago to become fertility care educators. And they can actually conduct independent fertility care practitioner education programs in their locale or really anywhere in the world. We knew that we couldn't train all of the practitioners in Omaha, that would be impossible, especially if this really took off and there became a great interest, which we're absolutely finding today.
Great.
But actually the one in Chicago is an independent education program, but we have them really all over New York, Washington State, Africa, Ireland, and it's because we have this level of educators who can actually take the show on the road, if you will.
Wonderful.
So this has really allowed the program to be much more accessible to individuals who maybe can't come to, for instance, our education program in October here in Omaha, or because they live too far away, like, you know, they live in Switzerland or France or something of that nature. So,
Sue, tell me a little bit about what does a fertility care practitioner do?
Well, first of all, the fertility care practitioner, they teach the Creighton Model Fertility Care System. And this is a form of natural regulation of human fertility, or as most people are familiar, NFP. Although we really don't call ourselves an NFP method per se, because the depth and breadth of what a practitioner is able to accomplish is much more than just assisting a couple in avoiding a pregnancy through a natural method. So this Creighton Model Fertility Care System, I just would like to take just a moment just to sum up what it is. It basically relies upon the standardized observation and charting of biological markers that a woman will experience as she goes through a menstrual cycle. And these biological markers are really essential, Mary Louise, to understanding a woman's health and fertility. the Creighton Model System is really a modification of the Billings ovulation method, and many of your listeners may be very familiar with that method, which is based primarily on the mucus observation. Well, what we have done with the Creighton Model System, why it is a modification of the Billings method, is that we've done something that really has set this this world of NFP, if you will, in a great, wonderful, new, and important direction. We standardized the observation of this mucus observation and really all of the biological markers. And with that standardization, we've created a whole new language that a woman will chart day in and day out. So getting back to your original question, a Creighton Model fertility care practitioner goes through what is, in essence, a 13-month education program. It rivals any other allied health profession. The practitioner doesn't have to have a medical background. I do not, but I, as you mentioned, I've been a practitioner for 30 years. But they, at the end of those 13 months, Mary Louise, they are capable of teaching any woman, any couple of any reproductive category how to chart these very important biological markers in a standardized fashion so that they can use it for the rest of their reproductive life. Whether they want to use it to achieve or to avoid or have these gynecological problems that you spoke of or you mentioned earlier.
Wonderful. What a great blessing. And this is so crucial. It's so incredibly needed. We need to head to a break. We're talking with Sue Hilgers about the upcoming Creighton Model Fertility Care Practitioner Education Program, which is taking place in the Chicago area beginning August 29th. And still accepting applications for this. If you have questions, friends, want to join in our conversation, give us a call, 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. And when we come back, we're going to talk in particular about a recent article in the Chicago Tribune, which sends a different message and how this is so crucial to addressing these issues. So stay with us. Give us a call, 312-255-8408. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Time now for a Catholic Festival of Faith news update.
Online registration is now being accepted for this two-day celebration of our faith, scheduled for the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont on October 16th and 17th. Go to www.catholicfest.org to register and to learn about the speakers, activities, and entertainment being planned. That's www.catholicfest.org.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio for more Catholic Festival of Faith news updates.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, chatting with Sue Hilgers about the upcoming Fertility Care Practitioner Education Program. And we have a call on the line. And by the way, friends, we welcome your calls at 312-255-8408. Alicia is on the line with us. Alicia, thanks so much for calling this morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. My daughter's been married for 3 years. And she's been having problems getting pregnant, and she went to the gynecologist, and they're trying to put her on a birth control pill.
Yes.
Is that good, or is that bad?
Sue, would you like to give some thoughts on that?
Yes. Well, first of all, I can really appreciate your concern as a mother, because certainly your daughter wants to be a parent, and that means we're talking about your grandchild.
Yes.
When we look at mainstream reproductive medicine, what we're seeing is that they have a very monolithic or a one-way approach to treating infertility. And in our research over the last 30 years, is it Alicia?
Yes.
We realized that infertility is a symptom of an underlying disease process. What I'm saying is that there's something going on within the woman's reproductive system, whether it's hormonal or organic, something with the ovulation process that isn't connecting. It's not happening. And what's really important is to find out what the problem is and then to fix it. That's what we do in medicine. That's what medicine does as a general rule. Find out the cause and come up with some dramatic and impressive way of solving that medical problem. Unfortunately, with infertility, this whole process has been leapfrogged over, if you will. So instead of finding out, okay, what's going on with your daughter? Why can't she get pregnant? What are the issues? What they're trying to do now is either, like, mask the symptoms, and I'm not sure why they put her on birth control pills exactly. I'm not a physician. I'd hate to really comment on that. But oftentimes what we're finding is that, and I'm a little bit surprised that they haven't, at this point, quickly referred her on to IVF, because that is the treatment of choice. So what's really important for your daughter, and this is the compelling question, Alicia, that every infertility woman and even a potential grandmother has: why can't I get pregnant? Why can't my daughter get pregnant? For instance, did you have trouble getting pregnant, Alicia, or was it?
No, actually, I never did.
You never did? So
no.
It's a little puzzling to you and of concern that now your own daughter is having this trouble, right?
Yes.
You can't understand it, correct?
Yes, exactly.
And yet your heart is really aching for her as her heart is aching.
Yes.
Well, there's great hope, and the answer has come from the Catholic Church, which is so fantastic. The Catholic Church has held firm that artificial intervention, if it's not moral, carries with it a lot of issues. And the Church... you're probably as old as I am. Back in the day when Pope Paul VI came out, for instance, and said not to use the birth control pill, there were good Catholic teachings for that. But at the same time, he called on men in science to say, hey, we need more answers. We got to come up with the answers so couples can live these teachings joyfully. Mm-hmm. And I'm here this morning, Alicia, to give you hope that we... because of the teachings of the Church, all of our research has been to come up with those answers. And what we have found over our 30 years of research is that there are specific reasons why women cannot get pregnant. Infertility, as I've mentioned, is a symptom of an underlying disease process. So the first thing the woman has to do is begin to chart her cycles in this objective fashion. And then where the medicine comes in, and again, the practitioner... we'll teach her how to do that. And then where the medicine comes in is that all of our doctors who are trained in this new science of NAPR technology, which I haven't mentioned much, we haven't mentioned today, but maybe we can get back to, they can pick up her chart, Alicia. They can pick up your daughter's chart. They can read all of the days, the biological markers. And since we know what normal biological markers look like the mucus, the menstrual flow, the length of the cycle, if the cycle is not functioning properly, Alicia, the doctor can see those biological markers that aren't charted in a normal fashion. And then that's an immediate tip-off of, oh, this could be a hormonal issue, this could be an organic issue. And then we've developed all of these amazing cooperative treatments to go in and treat the infertility. So as Mary Louise said, our infertility success rate is almost three times greater than IVF, but even more importantly for the women, they find out why they can't get pregnant, and then which is extremely important, and then a great sigh of relief, and now, okay, let's go to the next thing. Let's try to help me get pregnant. But in vitro, really, a woman may get pregnant by the grace of God. God accepts all children.
Right.
But those women who are put on the birth control pill or IVF, sent IVF, they really don't know why they can't get pregnant. And that's the burning question. And I would dare say that's the burning question for your daughter. How long has she been trying to get pregnant? Oh, you said three years?
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Alicia? You know what I would suggest, too, is... because I have the sadness of infertility also. In fact, I'm a patient of Sue's husband.
Oh.
And so I would be happy to talk with your daughter. And, she can call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. And I would connect her then with a fertility care practitioner. Again, that's 312-534-5355.
Okay.
And you can also go to www.fertilitycare.org or naprotechnology.com. It sounds like a really long word, but it's really the combination of three words: natural, procreative, technology. So it's naprotechnology.com.
Okay.
And there's more information there. But I really believe, as Sue said, this is finding the underlying causes of infertility. And once we found that, then, in most cases, they're able to treat that successfully, so one can get pregnant. So
she's been waiting, so long, and it's just been, it seems like forever, and it's really only 3 years.
Right. Is she in Chicago or is she somewhere else?
Yes, she's in Chicago.
Okay, well, we do have several practitioners who are teaching this system, which would be the first step. We don't have any doctors who know how to treat all of this. However, that, not to be discouraged, we have doctors in this, in some surrounding states, and we have patients who come all to Nebraska from all over the United States. But going back to why I'm on this program is that the two practitioners who are teaching in Chicago are overwhelmed. And they really need more practitioners to help them because the demand is so great. But we also need a physician, like an obstetrician gynecologist, who's willing to stop prescribing the pill, stop doing IVF, and will look at naprotechnology, this new women's health reproductive science that effectively treats not just infertility, but, PMS and abnormal bleeding, all of these issues that today is... Doctors are treating with the birth control pill.
Postpartum depression. I noticed that, too. I've met a young woman who Dr. Hilgers had treated who had postpartum depression and was suicidal. And he treated her with the use of hormones. And, I was just amazed. She's like, this guy, she said, he turned my life around.
Right.
And it's just amazing to see what naprotechnology can do today for women's health. I mean, more people need to know about this. But Alicia, I hope that you're...
I'm going to give her this information. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Okay.
I'm hoping, she'll... Yes, but could I tell you one thing?
Absolutely.
If at all possible, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not her doctor, I'm not a medical person, but if you could check this out before it ever gets to the IVF stage,
mm-hmm.
If we have a chance, I want to comment on this article that was in the Chicago Tribune. She really needs more answers as to what might be going on. And
exactly.
Just to go into IVF, it's very expensive, it's highly abortive, it's very traumatic emotionally. We have an amazing alternative that the church approves, and it's absolutely worth her while. A few more days, a few more weeks, a few more months to check it out.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very
much.
Oh,
and God bless you. It'll work out. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Thank you, Alicia.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we welcome your calls, friends, at 312-255-8408, talking with Sue Hilgers. Sue, let's get to that article in the Tribune. Tell us a little bit about that. That was I was particularly annoyed because it came out, I think it was either right before or right after our conference with Dr. Hilgers.
Right. Yeah, Dr. Hilgers was at your amazing conference, and the title of his talk, I believe, was Healing Infertility God's Way.
Yes.
And that was the end of March, and this article was published in the Chicago Tribune on April 5th, and the title of it was Faith or Family, Some Catholic Couples Seeking Kids Struggle with Church Doctrine. So I think this probably was, this was somewhat, I think, in response to the new the updated church's teaching, which also the cardinal addressed, actually.
Yes, Dignitas Personae, which was released from the Vatican, and I think it was in December of 2008.
In December. Yes. So I think that there might have been a tie-in, but this, they featured a young couple who had been married 2 years, 1 year trying to achieve, and had tried different, you know, artificial things, including acupuncture, to get pregnant. And then I believe it was a Catholic doctor, because she said she went to the doctor is quoted, and she went to Catholic grammar school and all, so I don't want to presuppose that she is, but it sounds like she is, treated them, and this couple conceived a daughter with IVF. And the article was focusing on that doing so put this couple at odds with their church. Mm-hmm. And so it really, you know, on one hand, it focused legitimately so on the desperation of this couple and what medicine has to offer, but at the same time, it unfortunately put the church in a bad light, that the church really isn't sensitive or understand the dilemma of the couples, what they're going through, and that they will have a child at all costs. Mm-hmm. The church understands the life-giving component of the marriage commitment, certainly, but they don't want to separate the love and the life aspect by having human life created, you know, like in a petri dish, as was mentioned in this article. But more importantly, the church relies on science and doctors who are faithful to the teachings to say, okay, there are answers to these problems so these couples do not suffer. Yes. And it would have been perfect if Napper Technology, Mary Louise, could have been featured in this article, because Napper Technology gives hope, certainly, not only to Catholic couples, but to all couples, because IVF really isn't all that successful if you really look at the numbers.
Right, it's about, I think, 24% of couples who use IVF can actually have a living child at the end. And that's what's an important distinction, because, you know, with IVF, multiple embryos are manufactured, if you will, in a laboratory, you know, taking the man's sperm and the woman's ovum and putting them together in a petri dish rather than in the loving embrace of the parents. Which is in itself, you know, very seriously morally problematic. But then in addition, many of these embryos have basically deformities. And so these embryos then, which are not of good quality, are discarded. And so a couple, you know, a couple may have, they may harvest 12 eggs from the woman, and the egg harvesting process is terrible for the woman's health. There's a group actually called Hands Off Our Ovaries. I love that name.
Oh.
Which talks about the impact on women's health of egg harvesting. But anyway, you know, they harvest these eggs, they manufacture these human beings, these, you know, sacred human beings. You know, these are precious gifts. And then many of these embryos, they usually rate the quality in terms of A, B, and C. C quality are discarded. A few of the A quality are implanted, and then the B quality usually are frozen.
Are frozen. No, and then the whole stem cell issue, which we won't talk about now, comes into play. What do we do with all these frozen embryos? But if I had a chance to talk to this couple and ask them, if going through that IVF process, do they know more about why they were unable to get pregnant? I would bet you, Mary Louise, and I think you would agree with me, I don't think you'd take this bet, that in fact they wouldn't know exactly why they were unable to get pregnant. So she's just as unhealthy in that sense as she was before she got pregnant. You know, mm-hmm. if she has endometriosis, it needs to be excised. If she has hormonal issues, if she's having pain, all of these are symptoms of an underlying disease process. So our approach is to make them healthy. If you make the body healthy, then the end result then is what we're looking for, is a pregnancy. So
absolutely.
IVF is absolutely fraught with all sorts of negative issues that couples don't know about when they go into it, actually.
Absolutely. But now, Sue, we only have actually 1 minute left, unfortunately, here.
Yes.
But I wanted to just get out this info that if people would like to become a fertility care practitioner to help people like Alicia's daughter.
Absolutely.
That they can call our office at 312-534-5355, and we'll provide you with an application vocation. Maybe, you know, you or someone you know has a passion wanting to truly make a difference. I mean, this is a real ministry, making a difference in the lives of couples who are facing infertility. This is a huge opportunity that this program is in Chicago. You can contact our office, 312-534-5355, or you can also contact Margaret Howard, who will be running the program, and her number is 402-320-9268.
And also, if you know of any physicians, the practitioner is responsible for the charting, but the physician takes it to the next medical level. We don't have a doctor in Chicago. Please go to popeaulthesixth.com. It explains all of our educational programs. Our next physician program is starting October 3rd. We also have a practitioner program if you can't make the Chicago one, but you can still teach in Chicago. So popeaulthesixth.com, link education. We need a doctor in Chicago who's willing to take this step in faith, and he or she will not regret it at all.
Absolutely. Again, that's www.popeaulthesixth.com.
Thank you so much.
Sue, thanks for being
with
us.
It was great meeting you again.
Oh, it's great
over the phone and through the magic of technology.
And
I want to thank the listeners for listening. It's been my pleasure.
Wonderful.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you. Sue Rogers. Thanks so much, Sue. And stay with us, friends. After this break, we're going to have Bob Gilligan in the studio with us from the Catholic Conference of Illinois. And on the phone, Deirdre McQuaid from the USCCB. We're going to be talking about healthcare reform. So stay with us. We'll be right back here on Life Talk.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing their gifts in many ways.
Whatever their situation, however connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's an opportunity for them to
meet good people their own age,
to deepen their faith and spirituality,
to make connections between faith and everyday life,
and explore the things that matter most.
It's an opportunity for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they, in turn, can pass it along to their children.
We encourage you to personally invite every young adult you know to Theology on Tap. It begins July 12th at 42 locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk here on the Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Mary Louise Curry, and I'm joined in the studio by Bob Gilligan, the director of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. Bob, thanks for being with us this morning.
It's great to be here.
Having some technical difficulties here. And do we have Deirdre McQuaid online with us from the USCCB?
Present and accounted for.
All right. Deirdre, thanks for being with us. And Deirdre, your exact title, you are in the Pro-Life Secretariat. You're basically the spokeswoman for the bishops on life issues.
That's right. They call me the Assistant Director for Policy and Communications. And so I speak to the media and the general public about abortion and related life issues.
Excellent. And we know that Bob represents all of the dioceses in Illinois on public policy issues, which is unbelievably challenging, but he does a great job with that. We are here now to talk about a hot button issue, which is healthcare reform and what is going on with that. But Deirdre, maybe we can begin, and I want to put the number out there because I'm sure we'll probably have a number of people who want to call in with questions. So friends, I invite your calls, 312-255-8408. Again, that's 312-255-8408. Deirdre, first of all, let's just start with what is the message of the bishops in a very kind of simple, easy to explain, I don't want to say soundbite, but soundbite. What is the message of the bishops on this issue?
Well, the fundamental framework, I guess you could say, is that the bishops have been very strong in putting forth basic ethical principles for healthcare reform, that whatever proposal is out there would, we hope and we urge, conform to. Namely, that we have a truly universal healthcare policy with respect for human life and dignity. Now, we think of universal very broadly, from conception to natural death. So
I like that. That's right. There you go.
That's right.
What universal health care is. It's respecting life from conception to natural death. So unborn children and elderly people, those who are disabled, all their lives and their health are respected.
Absolutely. And the other principles are that we also want to urge authentic healthcare reform that has access for all with a special concern for the poor and inclusion of legal immigrants. Mm-hmm. These are vulnerable populations, people who, for various reasons, do not otherwise have access to health care or sufficient access to health care. Another principle is pursuing the common good and preserving pluralism, as the bishops have said, including freedom of conscience.
Yes.
And a variety of options, i.e. that the government wouldn't just be telling us what health care we need to have or telling doctors what they need to do. It's up to doctors to give the care that they've been trained to give according to fundamental ethical principles, starting with, of course, do no harm, which abortion and other anti-life measures do. And finally, the bishops have really put forth saying it's important to restrain costs and apply them equitably. That's a concern of the Bishops' Conference as well. So, of course, these are challenging principles to all hold in balance, especially when you're not in control of the bill-writing process.
Yes, absolutely. So universal coverage from conception until natural death, access for all, preserving pluralism and freedom of conscience, and then, you know, the costs issues. Bob, where are things at right now with this? And it seems, for me, you know, I'm just confused. I mean, it seems like there are a lot of different bills going around, and I know that 3200 had a lot of very problematic measures, but where are things at right now?
That's a good question. 3200 is the bill I think most people are referring to, and that's the House bill. And that bill was voted out of a committee very late last week. I think it was last Friday. There's another effort underway that really has not received that much of attention, and that's coming from the Senate, and that's really still in the process of being formulated. The Senate probably won't get to it before they adjourn at the end of this week, and that effort is being led by Senator Baucus from Montana. And I think Deirdre brings up a lot of interesting points in terms of – and there is a lot of confusion about it out there, and I think Catholics are looking for some guidance in terms of what are we to do about it. Mm-hmm. I was talking to a congressman the other day who had called our office expressing a concern, and probably a legitimate concern, saying that if we, the plural we, cannot get the publicly funded abortion measures that could be in H.R. 3200, if we can't get that out now – now being over the time that they're home, most of the congressmen are now home, the senators are coming home next week, we will have an uphill battle going forward when they return from recess. Mm. So I think it's important that the listeners to this show and anybody out there who's got a concern about what is going to be financed and not financed and how it's going to be done, to try to get involved in the process now while they're home for recess, because we can send a loud message that yes, healthcare reform is very important, and I think Deirdre put up mentioned some really nice points about. I think people are in an awkward position right now, and I think that's the frustration you're feeling, is because clearly we don't want to publicly fund abortions or abrogate our conscience rights in this healthcare measure. We understand that, and that's going to be a very strong focal point of our communications. But on the other hand, and I think Deirdre points this out well, is as Catholics we can't deny the fact that there's a problem out there. The yes. problem is healthcare is costly and that too many are uninsured. And so it's going to be a real, and I think the USCCB is doing a very good job of trying to get messages out clearly and quickly in terms of what to say at various points in the process. But and this is going to go on for a while. So it's going to be a challenge for us to keep on top of this because it is confusing.
So now is the time, congressmen are at home now and senators are coming home. Now
yes.
is the time to contact them and say, we want health care reform that respects human life.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the main arguments, one of the main points that we need to communicate, is that we cannot be publicly funding abortions and we need to protect our conscience rights and some of the other points that Deirdre was mentioning.
Absolutely. We need to head to a break, unfortunately. There's just so much going on. We've got a caller on the line as well, it looks like. So we're talking with Deirdre McQuaid and Bob Gilligan about health care reform. We welcome your questions and comments at 312-255-8408. Again, that's 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
The Chicago Catholic Scripture School is now accepting applications for classes starting in September throughout the Archdiocese. This is our Bible study program for adults. Students come together weekly to pray and study the Word of God with teachers who are themselves strong Catholics with an extensive background in Scripture and theology. Year 1 classes will be held at St. Anne's in Barrington, St. Joseph in Libertyville, St. Julie Billiard in Tinley Park, St. Teresa of Avila in Lincoln Park, and St. Philip Neri in the South Shore neighborhood. There will be a year 1 class in Spanish at St. Cecilia in Mount Prospect and Precious Blood on Chicago's west side. And our first scripture school in Polish will be held at St. Hyacinth Basilica. For more information or to register for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, visit www.catechesis-chicago.org or call 312-534-8053. That's 312-534-8053 and www.catechesis-chicago.org.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too, for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Life Talk. Mary Louise Curry talking with Bob Gilligan in the studio, Deirdre McQuaid on the phone about health care reform. And we've got, we welcome your questions, comments. We've got a lot still to cover. We want to talk about end of life care health care reform. We've got a lot left to cover here, but we do welcome calls 312-255-8408. And we have Tony on the line. Tony, thanks so much for calling.
Well, thank you. Am I on now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, good. Thank you. This is an excellent topic at this time. What I want to ask about is in leading up to Notre Dame, 80-some bishops eventually came out in opposition and wrote letters of how it was such a bad event.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see that outspokenness by the bishops in this case with abortion being included in the bill. Yes, there have been a couple of well-known bishops that have come out, but not nearly the number, which leads the opposition to saying, well, the Catholics are not of one mind, and especially when some Catholic organizations, at least that use the name Catholic in their organization, have come out in support of this bill in spite of the abortion thing.
Tony, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bob, thoughts on that?
Well, I was just curious as what Catholic organizations do you know that supported the bill?
I think we lost Tony there. I think we lost him.
And Deirdre can correct me on this. She's got a more of a front row seat than we have here. But to my knowledge, what he's probably referring to is a Catholic Healthcare Association and Catholic Charities USA have put out comments about principles to follow.
Hello?
Yes, Tony, I think you're back on.
I'm back. I was reading in a LifeSite News in the last couple of days, and there were three of them. The only one that I can recall at the moment was Catholic Charities. They had sent out some kind of email bulletin to their members to support it. Further down on their website, though, they had a different point of view. But that's the whole thing about confusing messages.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks for the call,
Thank you.
Tony.
You
know, one of the things I think, too, is this is a question of strategy. I mean, just venting my own personal opinion here, some people in the pro-life community who are prominent leaders are saying, oh, the church is divided. The church is not divided. The USCCB issued a phenomenal statement that was from the bishop who leads, like, the Justice Committee, saying, support health care reform that respects human life. It is a very the church is united with an excellent, concise message. And anybody who's saying, oh, the church is divided, I mean, they might as well be working for Catholics for a Free Choice. That is just undermining the excellent message of the bishops and their excellent work on this issue. So I think, you know, there are all sorts of organizations that might say different things. But, you know, sometimes people write action alerts. I don't know what Tony saw, but that are not very well articulated sometimes. But, you know, when you go to these websites, I think that the Catholic Charities message was pretty clear. Didn't you think, Bob?
My understanding, and I know that Bishop Cardinal Regali put out a statement at the end of last week. I'm sure Deirdre had a lot to do with that in terms of expressing some concerns about H.R. 3200. And I also think it's important for listeners to remember that this is we're early on in this process in terms of the bill just coming out of committee. So there's going to be amendments and there's going to be changes. So, exactly what we're reacting to is kind of a moving target. So sometimes people may be reading something about a version of a legislation that was previous. With regard to the other two organizations, Catholic Healthcare and Catholic Charities, I'm not aware of their actually supporting H.R. 3200. I'm not saying that I know everything they put out, but I know they've expressed concerns as well about some of the other provisions that Deirdre was mentioning. And the organization that we follow most closely in this is the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So that's the information that we always look for in our offices, and that's the information that I'm referring to.
Great.
Also, I'd like to say I understand Tony's concern about ways in which the bishops, the Catholic perspective is heard on the Hill. But I'd like to say that these representative bishops, Bishop Murphy, who's from the Diocese of Rockville Center, he's the chair of the Committee on domestic justice and human development. He always speaks to social justice issues very strongly, very profoundly, and he was backed up by Cardinal Regali as the chair of the pro-life committee. They represent all the bishops of the United States in one letter.
Yes.
And this is powerful. This is received on the Hill as something to be reckoned with. If I could quote from Bishop Murphy's letter briefly, excuse me, he front-loaded the concern over respect for life and dignity, and he says, as we renew our longstanding support for reforming our nation's healthcare system, of course, we must also be clear that we strongly oppose inclusion of abortion as part of a national health care benefit. We would also oppose inclusion of technologies that similarly fail to uphold the sanctity and dignity of life. No health care reform plan should compel us or others to pay for the destruction of human life, whether through government funding or mandatory coverage of abortion. He's referring to mandatory coverage in private programs, right, plans. And so he says it would be morally wrong, it would be politically unwise, and then he ends with this kind of punchline. He says, no health care legislation that compels Americans to pay for or participate in abortion will find sufficient votes to pass. And I think he's right.
Amen.
Hope you're right.
We have to storm heaven, too, for that. And I think, too, what people don't understand is that public funding of abortion is proven to significantly increase the number of abortions. So it's not just, hey, you know, I have a serious problem with paying taxes to kill people. But it's also that states that have Medicaid funding of abortion, their rate of abortion among Medicaid recipients is three times higher than states that do not have Medicaid funding of abortion. So we're talking about, more innocent children being killed. So it's really an important measure. So we need to contact our congressmen and senators now, I guess, and let them know to take those measures out. But there are also issues regarding the end of life. And unfortunately, we need to head to a break. But when we come back, Deirdre, I'd like to ask you in particular about some language regarding counseling the elderly that was in one of the bills. So we're talking with Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois and Deirdre McQuaid of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops about health care reform. We're heading into our final stretch, and we'll take one or two more calls if you'd like to call in at 312-255-8408. Again, that's 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
You are invited to join Cardinal Francis George and other interfaith guests on Tuesday, September 1st for the 2009 Interfaith Iftar Dinner. Iftar, an Arabic word meaning breaking of the fast, is done every evening during Ramadan, the Muslim month of fasting from sunrise to sunset. This year's program takes place from 7 to 9 p.m. on September 1st at the Mosque Foundation in Bridgeview and includes the breaking of the day-long fast, observance of Muslim sunset prayer, dinner, and a program. There is no charge, but seating is limited. Your RSVP is required to the Office for Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs at 312-534-5325. That number again is 312-534-5325. We hope to see you there.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Life Talk. We're in the final stretch here this morning with Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, Deirdre McQuaid of the USCCB, talking about health care reform. And we got a caller who didn't want to stay on the line, but was asking if we're thinking of doing a postcard campaign promoting the message, which is support health care reform that respects human life from conception until natural death. Deirdre, you guys coordinated that amazing postcard campaign on FOCA, and of course it killed it. It wasn't even brought up. It was incredibly successful. Any thoughts about that?
First, about the FOCA campaign, would you believe 34.7 million cards were distributed to Catholic Americans and their friends across the country?
Wow.
We don't have a final count on how many were sent in because all the congressional offices didn't let us know. But yeah, it was a huge show of support for pro-life laws. It
yes.
drew a line in the sand. We don't have the leisure, if you will, of time on our side to do a physical postcard campaign here, but we do currently have an action alert I'd like to direct your listeners to.
Great.
Our partner organization is called the National Committee for a Human Life Amendment, still a goal of ours, if a long-term goal, to have a human life amendment that protects life from conception onward. But that group has... They did the FOCA postcard campaign, and they currently have an email campaign. Please go to their website. It's the abbreviation for their name, NCHLA.org, for National Committee for a Human Life Amendment. You go to that page, and you'll see the current action alerts. The FOCA campaign continues, as well as another campaign against embryonic stem cell research. So please, if you would, consider participating in all three, but start with the healthcare reform one because that's the most urgent currently.
Great. And that's nchla.org. And friends, it really only takes 2 minutes. I mean, people are like, we've sent this out, and people are like, this is a tremendous email tool because... little distraction here in the studio. A tremendous email tool because it only takes 2 minutes. You plug in your address and it immediately sends an email to your congressman and your two U.S. senators saying, and you can adapt the message if you wish, but it says support health care reform that respects all human life from conception till natural death. So go to nchla.org and click on Action Center and get the health care reform stuff. Now let's talk a little bit, very briefly. We've only got a few minutes left, about 4 minutes left. Let's talk about end-of-life issues. I'm really worried about this rationing of care to the elderly. Tell us a little bit about that, Deirdre, and especially this information on counseling the elderly. There was a provision in the bill on that. Tell us about that.
I believe what you're talking about is a provision in the draft Senate bill that mandated counseling for seniors every 5 years to discuss, quote-unquote, options as they face their death, which is yet another, would be, if it went through, another pressure on people to have advanced directives that are maybe not morally legitimate. And can put pressure on people to see their lives as not worth living, even though they're suffering or sick or unable to move around in some way. So, but my understanding is, and this is a little note of good news, in the process of sausage making that's been going on over the last few weeks, our understanding is, but we haven't seen this in the markup of the bill, so... I'm at risk for starting a rumor here, but that language, because of the protest voices over that, has been dropped.
Ah, well, that's great.
Yeah, I happened to be home yesterday and had the radio on. Boy, that was the big subject of a lot of conversations on talk radio stations across the country. Mm-hmm. That they were beating that drum constantly. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was eliminated. But I don't know that either for a fact.
Yeah, it was interesting too. I was driving to a meeting yesterday and heard there's some petition that's received a million signatures more than a million of people who oppose these particular health care reform measures. I wanted to just read the very cogent action alert from NCHLA, which is a fair and just health care reform bill must exclude mandated coverage for abortion and uphold longstanding laws that restrict abortion funding and protect conscience rights. So you can go to www.nchla.org and send that message to your senators and congressmen. How about cost benefit analysis? Bob, do you know, is there any kind of cost-benefit analysis kind of going on of, hey, this kidney is going to go a lot farther in this 35-year-old guy than in this 70-year-old woman. So we're going to, you know, it basically a kind of rationing of health care to the elderly.
I don't know the specifics. Deirdre might have better information than I have. I know that there's been cost projections thrown out there of $1 trillion over 10 years, and there's also been a lot of discussion about how we are going to pay for that. Can we pay for it? Who pays? There's been a lot of talk about increasing taxes for those who make certain dollar values and above. And so there's been a lot of concern about the cost of the bill. The benefit of the bill is also difficult. You know, I think one of the things we need to step back and take into consideration is part of the reason we're having this debate is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, the fact of the matter is we are living longer, healthier lives than we ever have been. Mm. I mean, today we can prescribe a pill and people live longer and healthier, and that costs money. It costs money to develop it. It costs money to maintain it. That's those sort of things. So the whole healthcare reform debate has a lot of moving parts, and I think the cost benefit is just one amongst many other competing themes in this debate. And that's why I think, you know, as Deirdre was pointing out, and you were just saying, I think it's important to keep our eye on the ball in terms of the alerts that are going on, because this is going to change a lot. This is going to have a long history to it. Yeah. We're just starting here. This is going to go on for probably another year.
Yes. If I could add too that both provisions for healthcare, say prenatal care of the mother and child alike, as well as end-of-life care, if these are covered, responsibly covered, it will help people not resort to the violence of abortion, not resort to the violence of suicide or assisted suicide, or euthanasia more passively. And so
Deirdre, you know what? I need to wrap up, unfortunately, actually. Thank you so much. Those are great thoughts. Bob Gilligan from the
Thank
CCI,
you.
Deirdre McQuaid from USCCB. Friends, thanks so much for joining us here on Life Talk this morning. And call us at 312-534-5355 for more information. God bless you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.